Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up on the next block, we find all our friends assembled. Vic lounges in his easy chair, gazing reflectively at his shoes. Sade occupies a corner of the Davenport sewing, and young Russell, at the library table, reads aloud from a volume of vigorous fiction.
Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley contemplated the oscillating head of the deadly cobra without fear. That contemptible reptile better not bite me, he remarked to Lady Margaret. The beautiful woman took a firmer grip on the mother-of-pearl handle on her dainty pink parasol. I'm frightened, she whispered. What's there to be frightened about? Queried her lover reassuringly. Come here and give me a couple kisses.
Oh, he makes me tired, that Third Lieutenant Stanley.
On the next page, he rips out his automatic revolver and shoots the snake's head right off his shoulders.
Now, read it to yourself. What you dreaming about, mister?
Ain't good stuff.
Must be a beautiful dream.
Hank was in the office to see me this afternoon.
Was he?
Had a proposition up his sleeve. I'd like to discuss it with you if you're interested.
You appreciate how interested I am in Hank Gustav.
I'm afraid your opinion of Hank is unreasonably prejudiced.
I'll say. What do you want this trip? Money?
On the contrary.
Okay, I've come to the excitement. The serpent slithered across the floor, suddenly reared, and lunged with lightning-like speed at the well-turned ankle of Lady Margaret. Third Lieutenant Stanley, however, was alert and ready. His automatic revolver barked twice, and the cobra collapsed in a heap. Now how about a couple kisses, he exhausted. The beautiful woman's alabaster cheek took on a rich, warm glow. She glanced down at her fashionable French spats. You've earned a couple kisses, sweetheart, she murmured. Third Lieutenant Stanley leaped into the air, clicked his heels, and screamed.
Are you quite through?
I thought there was going to be a lot more excitement than just this.
Uh-huh. Well, your mother and myself wish to talk.
Mm.
No, Hank didn't want money saved.
It's a wonder.
To come directly to the point, Hank wishes to pay me back certain sums that he has borrowed in recent months.
Did he pay you?
Not in cash, no. And that's what his proposition hinges on. Hank wants to work out his indebtedness.
Work it out?
Yes.
Where?
Here.
How?
Odd jobs around the house.
Oh.
Well, now, before you take a definite stand on the matter, Sade, let me explain Hank's proposal.
You think for 1 minute I'd tolerate him on the premises?
Let me tell you what he told me. Afterwards, you can put the kibosh on the idea if you choose.
I'll put the kibosh on the idea right off the bat.
What's the discussion, people?
Go get me a drink of water.
Okay. You care for one, Gov?
No, thanks. The thing is, kiddo, whatever Hank's faults may be, he's scrupulously honest.
They say he steals coal down the Chicago Norton Railroad Yard.
Nothing but rotten slander. So far as I am concerned, Hank Gustav's integrity is beyond reproach.
Let it run a while till it gets cold, Willie.
Okay.
Miss Wheeler says he steals coal down at the Chicago Norton Railroad Yard.
Miss Wheeler is a gossip and a magpie. She's probably the party that steals coal down at the Chicago Norton Railroad Yard.
Oh, come now.
Well, I certainly wouldn't put it past her. No, Sade, like I say, so far as I'm concerned, Hank's integrity is beyond reproach. Don't forget, he holds a position of trust and honor in my lodge as a sacred star of the Milky Way.
Thought you threw him out last month.
He has since been reinstated.
Well, I don't want him loafing around here. That's final.
Okay, that's final. However, just as a matter of interest, won't you let me describe Hank's visit to the office this afternoon?
I don't care.
I think you'll agree that he's given the thing considerable thought. I have from time to time in recent months advanced Hank small loans. A dollar here, dollar there, quarter, 75 cents, and so on and so forth. On each of these occasions, Hank has entered the amount in a notebook. I myself didn't bother to keep track.
That was foolish.
Maybe it was.
I keep track of my quarters and 75 cents.
Most commendable of you.
Quarters and 75 cents don't grow on trees, you know.
I wasn't laboring under the delusion it did. However, let me continue. Hank informed me today that his accumulated borrowings total $20.
My stars. $20 would buy groceries for a month.
I was surprised myself at the amount.
You must have slipped him plenty of nickels and dimes to add up to that much.
I expect I did. But listen, though.
$20 you handed over to that old Hank Gustav, and I had to refuse to lend Ruthie Stembottom a dime the other day.
Why did you have to refuse?
Never had a cent in my purse.
You'd have let her have a dime if you had a dime, wouldn't you?
Oh, sure.
What is your point, then?
A whole month's groceries, $20 would pay for. Is it cold?
Good and cold.
Hank took his hair down and talked turkey. Mickey said, you know my circumstances. I never
Thanks,
have more
Willie.
Than...
Not at all. Brought me a nice glass and everything.
I couldn't find the tin cup. Pay hand it to a rummy, Gov.
The mother, Jake.
Oh, I really ought to be studying algebra tonight.
Well, why don't you?
My brain feels sluggish. Maybe I'll go to bed pretty quick.
If you're ever going to mount ten, I think you'll have to study...
Thanks, Willie.
Uh-huh.
Here.
Yeah.
Say, Hank took his hair down and talked turkey. Vic, he says, you know my circumstances. I'm never more than a dollar or two to the good at any one time. Your chances of getting your $20 back in one chunk are mighty slim. And it's been bothering me. I don't like being in debt. Now, that shows you the pure gold in Hank. I don't like being in debt, he said.
Hmm.
All right, here's his proposition. He's willing to work out the money at 50 cents an hour. He'll come
no,
here...
No, no, Vic, I meant what I said. I won't have that man in my house.
Well, listen a second, can't you? What Hank wants to do is to work out the debt in 30-minute periods. You can tolerate his presence around the place a measly half hour a day, can't you?
No.
Oh, you could, too. Look, suppose he shows up every afternoon at 3 o'clock. Okay, he'd be gone by 3:30.
What could he hope to accomplish with such little dabs as that?
Plenty. Mow the yard, put up the screen, scrub...
He couldn't put up the screens in any half an hour.
Yeah, I'll say he couldn't.
Well, he could put up a few screens. In a week's time, plugging away at 30 minutes a day shots, he could wind up the whole business. Why, heck, say, most afternoons you're not even home at 3 o'clock. You'd scarcely ever see the guy.
He owes you $20 hard money. Don't you want your $20 hard money back?
I'm willing to accept its equivalent in labor. And I'm taking a wise view, too, because, as Hank says, my chances of collecting actual cash are most remote. It behooves me to take what I can get.
Smelly Clark's Uncle Harold once made a deal with a guy.
Say, at the rate of 50 cents an hour, Hank, in order to work out $20, would have to put in 80 30-minute periods.
80?
Well, sure. See, each half-hour period he puts in, that's him a quarter, and there's 80 quarters and $20.
You mean he'd be here 80 afternoons?
Well, not 80 consecutive afternoons. Saturdays and Sundays he'd want to rest, I think.
Be here every weekday afternoon for a year.
Well, not quite a year. Let's see, he'd be here...
No, sir, now, Vic. No, sir.
I'm only explaining...
I don't like Hank Gutstop, and he knows I don't like him, and you know I don't like him. Before I'd let that man loaf around my house 80 afternoons...
But
if
he working, the grass would be kept mowed. Your porches would be kept scrubbed. Any little odd job you wanted done or any errand you wanted run, old Hank would gladly...
No, the whole thing is absolutely out of the question. 80 afternoons, indeed.
Okay, you're the doctor.
I'll say.
Generally, kiddo, you're a pretty shrewd girl. You've got a sharp eye for a bargain.
Hank Gutstop's no bargain.
Wouldn't you like to see the equivalent of $20 returned to the family coffers?
Not that way.
Looks like I'll have to write the debt off the books as a total loss.
No, you won't either. You make him pay.
He can't pay. He's never had $20 in one lump since he was born.
Well, he can pay in dribbles, just like he borrowed. A dime here and a quarter there.
It's Hank himself that I'm thinking of. His debt hangs over him like a heavy burden. He feels like his honor would be washed clean and his armor once more unsullied if we'd allow him to work
out
his...
Well, we won't.
Okay.
No, sir.
Okay.
You know what I bet, don't you?
What do you bet, Sadie?
I bet that old Hank knew good and well I wouldn't stand for any such crazy arrangement, and that's why he took it up with you.
I wouldn't be surprised if what you hit the nail right on the head, Mom.
Your opinion, Egg Yolk, wasn't solicited.
No, sir. I bet anything that's exactly the way he figured. He appreciates I don't like him. He understands I wouldn't have him hanging around my house for 80 afternoons.
I guess we can consider this discussion at an end.
Yeah.
Ah, ah.
By George, there's some more excitement after all. Listen, Third Lieutenant Stanley Shriek. He grasped the nearest counterfeiting cannibal by the throat and rapidly choked him into insensibility. Lady Margaret looked on with a pensive smile. She adjusted her fashionable French spats and smoothed her satin gown. Give me three kisses before I choke the next counterfeiting cannibal, bellowed the handsome young officer. The beautiful woman gulped, smirked, winked, and sneezed, finally breaking into a rude guffaw.